Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 4 tonight. Matthew chapter 4. It'll be in verses 1 through 11. Let's pray before we get started, and then I'll talk a little bit about this. Father, I thank you for your blessings on us today. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word again tonight. Now, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, and that... Lord, that this would be from you, not from me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. First thing I want to say about this before I read this is, I don't know, I was thinking about this today. You know how I think I talked to Amy and Mike there Sunday night. We was talking about Dave Ramsey and the whole financial thing that he does and all that stuff, and how he's got a plan for you to follow to help you get your finances straightened out and how to manage your finances. But he's got this plan. And it's funny because he's got a radio program. If you listen to it at all, there's people call in and they've heard a little piece of this or that or the other of his plan, or they've heard his plan, and they just pick out the parts they like and they try to do them and it don't work. So then they call him and they want to know why it ain't working. And he said, well, explain to me what you've been doing. And they always say, well, I did this. And he said, you're missing a bunch. You can't do that until you do this. You know, the gospel's a whole lot the same way. There's a lot of people that know. I mean, think about all the people that sit in church and they hear the truth and they know what it is. You know, and they pick and choose the things that embellish their life or what they might benefit from in some way by doing these things, and they try to do them. But, you know, what do we call that? I mean, what's the term? It's hypocrisy. That's what we call that. I mean, you see somebody who you know, they don't live right, but they like to pretend like they do. They're hypocrites. And I always say, you know, hypocrisy has a really short shelf life. It, you know, it will fool most everyone for a little while. But when any little bump in the road comes along, or when, if you can just wait long enough, they can't, it comes out being exactly what it is, hypocrisy. It won't stand the test. It won't carry you through till the end. And, you know, a lot of people do that, you know, with what we're talking about. You know, a preacher gets up and preaches two different kinds of messages. A message to the lost, trying to help them to see their need for Christ and be converted. And then there's preaching that's to the flock. I mean, it's to the Christian people sitting in the church, to the church, to help feed them and instruct them and chastise, reprimand, reprove, whatever. I mean, that's what that kind of preaching is for. And a lot of times I think that there's lost people in the church that do, you know, in their own way, delight in the law of the Lord. And they try to take that kind of preaching and apply it to their life, and it don't work. I've been that guy before, where I tried to make it work, and it don't work. Why? Because I'd missed the first very important steps of the whole matter. And I think, you know, what I'm going to talk about here tonight a little bit is one of those things. It's, you know, lost people, and it's funny because I seen it there before I left the house. I got a cousin that put on there, please, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm up against it, and my heart is broken, and, you know, that cryptic messages they put on there about, please pray for me. Pray that God will give me direction. And he's as lost as a goose in a hailstorm. God's not going to give him direction. He couldn't find God's direction if he wanted to. But he wants people to pray for him so that God will give him direction. He's the guy I'm just now talking about. He wants to apply these precepts that God has given us for a good life, a good Christian life. He wants the benefits of those precepts, but he's missed the most important part. And if we're not careful, we'll do the same thing. So let's read this. Chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he'd fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. I reckon so. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered him and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil, taking him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So, I just want to look at a couple things here, and we'll be done. I'm trying to practice being a little more brief. Sometimes a child of God will be led to a place of temptation by God. You ever think about that? Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It seems kind of strange or foreign to think that that would be the way things are. I mean, we always equate temptation with sin or getting awful close to it. And, you know, I mean, surely, who is it that puts all these things, you know, who is it? We always blame the devil for every time we're in a situation where we must make the right choice. But how many of you have ever give your kids the option to make the right choice or the wrong choice to see what they would do? Well, that's, you know, that's kind of what that happens to us sometimes, you know. We're led sometimes to a place of temptation by the Spirit, you know, and there's reasons for it. Why? One of the things that tells me, first of all, and we've talked about this before, is how that temptation is not a sin. You know, temptation is not sinning. Jesus was tempted. Does that mean that he was a sinner because he was tempted? Absolutely not. If you believe that, then all is lost. No, he wasn't a sinner. And he wasn't sinful because he was tempted or even in a place where he could be tempted. We are in the world, but not of the world. Has any of y'all ever been tempted before by anything? Well, of course. Mercy. You know, you face it every day. You hear people talk about how, you know, you hear these preachers say about, you know, you sin in thought, word, and deed every day. I don't go a minute without sinning. Well, there's days where I don't go a minute without being tempted. And it depends on who I'm around and who's provoking me or, you know, what I've let myself watch or see or indulged in or anything like that. It all bears weight upon how much I'm tempted, for sure. But just because you're tempted don't mean you're sinning, you know. There's another step to be taken before you cross that line. And I think it's one of the reasons why Jesus was tempted to sin. So it's just an example. His life was an example for us. And it was to show us that you can do it. You can be tempted and not do it. It says, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. You know, fasting, you know, it will make you weak. There's aspects about it that, and it's not just physically weak. You know, I've only ever done this one time, but it really opened my eyes to some things about how spiritually it clarifies your mind. It does that. There's things that seem to fall away because you're doing that. But it also, it makes you a lot more in tune with some things too. And you know, spiritually, I don't feel like you're as vulnerable, but at the same time, in your weakened physical state, that's what fasting can do to you. And Jesus was hungry, and he was weak. 40 days and 40 nights, that's a long time to go without anything to eat. And when did the devil, did he come and tempt him when he first got to the wilderness? No, he came when he was at his weakest point. And, you know, that's what it'll do to you and me too. You know, he's compared to a wolf, you know, a lion, or anything like that. And you, how many have watched, you know, the Discovery shows or whatever, where they're showing some lion or some wolf stalking their prey? Or you see them lions around them big herds of wildebeest or whatever. Do they pick out the biggest one to go after? No, they pick the weakest one, the littlest one, the babies or the sick old one in the back straggling along. They pick out the weak ones. That's what a predator does. And the devil's, he ain't no exception. And, you know, it's just a fact of life that you're going to go through spiritual battles. You know, there's times when there's things in life that's happening in your physical life that drain you spiritually. You know, they drain you physically. You're anxious, you have anxiety about things that, you know, you worry about things. Been, you know, a lot of times it's your kids or the work or money or whatever it may be. But, you know, there's things that weigh on you heavily and they weaken you. And if, you know, we all know we're going to have to go through them. If you haven't been through it, you will. And if you're going through it, you sure know you are. And, you know, if you've been through it and you've come through it, you know what I'm telling you is the truth. But do you think that you're only going to have to go through it once? No. You better get ready. It's coming again, you know. It's one of them things that you can about bet the farm on is that if it's happened once, it'll happen again. And, you know, he's gave us all this stuff in his word to help us prepare for the next time it comes. You know. Yeah, I can talk about her because she's not in here. But, you know, Esther's fixing to have this baby. And it's her first one. And I remember, man, it's funny how you forget it. You march through life and you're just forward, and you put everything you've done behind you until you get older and you start seeing other people go through this stuff and you start remembering and recalling, you know, some of the stuff you've been through and seen and, oh, I forgot about that. I remember that. You know, there's things that she's going to learn through this whole process. And when number two comes along, she'll be a lot more prepared. We're to do the same thing with this. I mean, if you just keep getting just blasted over and over again and you don't see it coming every time or getting, you know, at least have enough, you know, keep, you know, looking around and see, oh, I see it coming, you know, better be prepared. And then you're not doing your homework. I mean, there's things we need. We have a responsibility to prepare so we don't get derailed when these times come along. You know, why does the Lord let us be tempted sometimes? Well, you know, it's kind of like working on a car. I mean, like diagnostics. It's like spiritual diagnostics. If you think about it a little bit, it's being tempted. What's some of the things it does? It tries your faith. It does that for sure. I mean, there's things I've been through that, you know, I don't know how in the world I made it through it. If it hadn't been for the Lord. And that sounds real cliche till you're barely treading water, buddy. And it's a reality in your life. Trials try your faith. And it shows you your weaknesses. I mean, you run diagnostics on a car and it's going to tell you everything that's wrong with the car. And that's what trials that come along, the temptations that comes along. Why are we tempted? Well, see how you react to them. You know, think about it. Instead of taking the stance of like, well, it's not really fair that God would do this to me because, you know, it's kind of like entrapment where he's going to set up a scenario and so maybe I'll sin and then he can hold it against me. No. Look at it as the trial. What did he say? The trials of your faith are more precious than gold. You know, I mean, they're supposed to help purify you and sanctify you. And, you know, don't despise the chastening of the Lord. That's what temptations and trials are. If you are one of his sons, he says he chasteneth you. He chastens all who are his sons. And that don't mean he whoops you all the time. That ain't what that means. Chastening is correction. You know, there's lots of times, and yeah, if you ask my kids, they'll tell you there's a whole lot of times when, you know, they get preached at a whole lot more than anything else. I mean, I would rather chasten them that way and correct what's going on than I would to just get a stick and whoop them. If it has to come to that, And it has, but, you know, I mean, the Lord will chasten you with his word and with some temptation, just to try you a little bit before the hammer will fall to straighten something out in your life. You know, he is a kind father, and he's long-suffering and merciful. And if we'd respond, it's like, how many times have you told your kids, if you just listen to me, I wouldn't have to whip you? You know? Well, that's what the chastening of the Lord is a lot of times with the temptations we go through. You know, it's him just saying, listen to me. You know, I've told you what you can do to make it through this. I've made it through this as a man, just like you. So here's how you do it. You know? And it's to teach us to lean on him when we are in the temptation. I mean, Jesus, when he was going through this, didn't get violent with the devil. He didn't, you know, as far as physically, he didn't try to attack him, or he didn't, you know, try to do this in his own strength. He used the word of God and the law. He used the law. And didn't take long. No devil went away. Departed from, he leaveth him. A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. You've ever heard that saying? Well, it's very true. You have the best chain in the world, and if one link's messed up, you put it in a bind, and that's where it's going to break. Temptation will show you where your weakest link is. It'll show you, and a lot of, see, the devil's smart. You know, people don't give him enough credit in that area. I mean, but he is sly, and he knows how to get to you. How many times you got to be around that one person that just really pushes your buttons? Day after day after day after day. Man, I've been on jobs where got pretty wild and western sometimes because of people that you had to be around like that every day, just oppressive, and you just wanted to take a club and just take care of the problem. And they knew how to push your buttons. Man, I worked with a boy one time, and I was young. I was 17 or 18, barely. And it's funny because he's the pastor of a church now. I never would have dreamed it in a million years. But he was a wicked person back then, and oh, he was hard to deal with. Man, oh man. And about got fired from that job for, I mean, I had a club going after him. I'd have had it. And I got stopped. But anyway, he knew how to push my buttons. And, you know, the devil knows how to push yours too. And he's got a whole lot of people working for him that he can put in your path, you know. And I mean, the Lord allowed Job to be tried. And why are we any exception? I mean, he lets us be tried this way to purify us, to sanctify us, to show us our weaknesses, to help us be stronger. I mean, that's what it's all about, being sanctified. You know, he did give us some things that would help us through this too. You know, this whole process of making it through temptation. You know, prayer and fasting. That's a big one, but it ought to be a part of our life. What was that one time where the disciples was trying to cast this devil out of this guy, and they couldn't do it. And they asked him, how come we can't do this? And he said, this kind of stuff right here only comes by prayer and fasting. He said, you guys aren't disciplined spiritually enough to do this. You know, there's too many other things, too much other noise going on in your life that you just ain't in a place to be doing this. And so there's that. What about the Word of God? Every day when I read something out of the Bible, there's something in there for me. Every day. Even in, I've been talking to Dad about reading the law back in Leviticus, and it's just, it's a hard read. There's no way around it. It's just a hard read. But there's the nuggets all through it. And it's, you know, every morning we sit down and we're going to read. And most of the time we get through about a chapter. And then there's too much to talk about in the chapter to talk about, to read anymore. And then it's time to get up and go do something. I mean, there's stuff in there. And it helps me. And it's funny because if you start paying attention and being in tune spiritually with God's Word and Him and trying to pray and walk close, you'll see. He'll bring back the stuff you read during the day when them temptations come along. You're like, you know what? I read about this morning. You see it coming. And you're prepared. You're prepared. You got something to fight back with. How often, and I mean, I remember back, you know, when I was the guy that I was talking about at the beginning of this thing, where I was trying to apply all of these godly precepts to my problems, but I wasn't living godly enough for them to not knock me down. I had everything. I had a good head knowledge of how to display it. I was looking at it like it was a business plan or something. You know what I mean? If you follow this and you put your money here and you do this and da-da-da-da and do this then and do this then and then everything will be okay. And it just don't work like that. You know, there's a spiritual aspect to this thing. how do we miss it? How do we think that we're going to outfox it somehow? Or manipulate it in a way where we can, you know, tweak it to where it'll work for us? I don't get it. Oh, mercy. There, you know, he's give us his word. And then there's the preaching, you know. I mean, preaching and spiritual instruction that we receive from listening to the word of God be preached. He's ordained it as what it is to get the gospel to people and to help us. And, you know, I don't like to hear people when they've tried every way they can to find a reason not to be in church. And so they make claims of, you know, well, God's everywhere. I can be with God out on the lake. I can be with God in the woods in my tree stand. I can be with God anywhere I'm at. I can be with God at my home. Well, all that is true. I've been with God in every one of those places. But it's not the temple. And when he came to them Israelites in the desert out there in the very beginning, and gave them the concept of the tabernacle. He didn't give them a boat, and he didn't give them a deer rifle or a deer stand, and he didn't give them no. He gave them the tabernacle, and he said, build this for me, so I'll have a place to dwell. And then that's where you're going to come to me. You know. And I think that he still feels that way about it. His house is where you get the instruction. Now, I get it from his word when I read, but that's my personal responsibility to have a person. That's part of my personal relationship with him. And I do garner strength from that a lot. And he helps. He speaks to me in an intimate way. But when I'm in church, it's a different thing. And I get just as much help from him here as I do from... And it all has to be part of it. You can't have one and not the other. If you come to church and you don't ever read your Bible and you don't pray and you don't have a relationship with God, then you don't have it. It ain't going to work. You're missing. It's like a two-part epoxy. You can have one and the other, and by themselves, they're just sticky goo. It ain't going to work. But you put them together, and you got about 3 minutes, and it's going to turn to concrete. And that's what makes it work, is all of it together. And this is all that way. You must have it all, or it ain't no good. I can't remember the word. I can't think of it. The last thing here in verse 10 says, Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Back in verse 7, he said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You know, he was quoting the law. But ain't it neat how that God worded it in a way where it even applied to the devil? Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, Satan. That's what Jesus told him. You know, and then there again, he said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Does Satan worship God? No, he does not. He hates him. Everything he does is against him. But it don't change the fact that God is still the God of everything and everybody. And, you know, every knee shall bow someday. Yeah, it will. And including Satan's. And that's before he binds him and throws him off in the lake of fire forever. Hallelujah for that. And but that's what he was telling him here. He said, listen here, you know, you're tempting me, you fool. You shouldn't tempt the Lord your God. Get away from me. Go on. Now, that's how Jesus resisted the temptation. and him being our example, and then also what it says later on in the word there about how the greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, who are those two people? He that's in you, if you're a Christian, it's God. He's in you. Then he that's in the world, that's the devil. Same two people that was having this confrontation here that we read about. If you have God in you, you can resist the devil with the same authority Jesus did right here, because he used the law, he used the word of God, just like we can. It's what he said. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve, devil. And really, you know, resisting temptation doesn't have to be as hard or complicated as you think. You know, I used to smoke, and I used to chew tobacco. And there was a time when it was a real struggle for me. I thought I didn't know how I was going to lick it. I didn't know how I was going to get past it. And now I mean, hand to the Lord, I can say, I am not tempted with that anymore. You know, my neighbor was there today, and he was standing there talking to me, and he wouldn't go home, and he chain smoked. Well, his lights one right off the other just about, and it just about to gag me. He left, and 30 minutes later, I could still taste it in my mouth. It was just, ugh. You know, I'm not tempted by that no more. And, you know, those kind of vices and things, yeah, I mean, you get broke away from them, and yeah, the temptation's never there. But, you know, that's one of the things that you have to make your body adapt to and crave. It's an unnatural desire. But there's things that God put in you that is a natural desire that you're required by him to curb a little bit. And so temptation for those things, it's not hard for me to resist temptation to put a big wad of Copenhagen in my mouth. I don't have to worry about that. It's not a temptation for me. Don't want it. But now there's other things. You know, music, for example, I have to keep that in check, because it was one of the weaknesses. It was one of those, it was a vulnerable place for me. I'd listen to just about anything and enjoy it. There wasn't very much that I didn't really care for. And to this day, I have to be careful with good music, because I feel like if I'm not careful, because it's like that white noise some people have to go to sleep at night. Some people have to have music going continuously. They can't think without their music. I remember when I was years ago working construction, and, you know, we always made a joke about it, but, you know, there was always a radio blasting on the job site. And we always made a joke about it that, you know, we couldn't think until we put our pouch on and turned the radio on. Then we could think. And it wasn't that I listened to it all the time. It's just the noise, and it all had to be. It was just, you know, ain't that weird how you literally make yourself, your mind, addicted to things, just like you do your body. And I really did. I mean, there was a lot of times where that was the first thing that come off the truck when we got to the job was the radio. We had to find a place to set it up, and then we could go. How silly. And so even with good music, I got to be careful now. Is it bad to listen to good music all the time? Well, no, good music's not bad. But there has to be a balance in even the good things. You know, and I have to on purpose listen to something else every once in a while. Or else I'll get in the habit of having this music playing it all the time. And you know, I've found something out. Music is a lot like television. If music's going, you're not thinking about nothing else but just the song. And even good music, you got to be careful. You just got to be, you know, sugar. Apple pie is delicious, but if that's all you ever had to eat, you'd have problems. You'd be losing your toes and your fingers from diabetes before long. And it's not good. You know, you got to have some balance there. And I think the Lord expects us to do that. Greater is he that's in you. You can do these things. These temptations that are hard to resist, like the things that, well, they're not bad. You know, I mean, this is actually a good thing. But you can do it. And, you know, it's funny. You lick them hard things and then on to the next one. And don't let there be a lot of space between cutting something out of your life that don't need to be there or putting the reins on something that you need to get a hold of. Don't be like, okay, well, I've earned the right to kind of coast for a while. Use that momentum to go on to the next one. Let's find something else. Lord, show me something else. And just, and the more you do that, the further you go, the easier it will be. I'm telling you, it'll be easier. Now, keep in mind, the devil's going to know this, and he's going to come at you. But greater is he that's in you. You can do it. It can be done. All right. Lastly, verse 11. Now, when Jesus had heard, verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Always remember this. You've been going through a spiritual battle. You've been going through something that's just got you physically and emotionally and spiritually drained. And you're weak. And you're being tempted because the devil knows you're weak and you're going through it. And yet you get the victory. You know, you come through something like it, you're still pretty weak and you're tired. Jesus made it through the temptation and the fasting and all of that. But he still needed some help. Now always remember this, you know, the Lord will never leave you to recover from spiritual warfare on your own. He'll help you. He'll send somebody, he'll send his angels to help you. You know, I've been through stuff, and there's been people that come along that just had a word, or they didn't have to come in and, you know, cook my food for me or something. I'm talking about spiritual stuff here. But they were a shoulder to lean on till I got my feet back underneath me, boy. And the Lord will send those folks for you. And he's provided aid to us through his word. You know, he'll put people in our life to help encourage us. And, you know, I said that about the music, but he's gave us that too, you know. Sometimes, you know, it's funny how music is. You've said it before, it's a direct shot to your heart. And it bypasses reason sometimes. It's a language of its own. Music came from heaven first. You know, I talk about it to the kids sometimes when you eat a piece of fruit or you see a flower or that chicken and the egg hatching out of the egg and that kind of thing. Or what we talked about the temple and those oils that he had them mixed together for a certain smell and how that came from the mind of God. You know, I know the whole world was created by him and this is all his creation. It came from his mind. But, you know, that kind of stuff comes straight from his mind. Music's the same way. The concept of music and how it affects us come from him, came from his mind. And it's just so wonderful to me that he give us this thing. And if it's used right, it can be just like some kind of healing balm on a sunburn or something. It can just be the... You know, I heard a song here a while back, that new CD they came out with, and Sound Doctrine. And, you know, it just, I just cried. That's just all there was to it. I just listened to that song, and it just spoke to my heart. It was just right where I was at. And it helped me. It encouraged me. And all it made me do was just praise the Lord. Thank you. What he said on that song, that's how I feel. That's my heart too. And, you know, he's gave us all these things to help us through temptations and spiritual battles. You know, we all go through this stuff. And it's different for everybody. Some of it's the same. We all fight some of the same battles. But some of them, man, it's like the devil Taylor makes them for you. Think about Danny. Stuff he's been going through for the last 10 years, you know, seems so unfair in a way. Yeah, for sure. Kind of like lightning striking the same place twice. What's the odds? And going through it. And, you know, we're supposed to, as brethren in Christ, we're supposed to be in tune with each other enough to be that shoulder. I want to see when each other's going through it. And a lot of times people are very private about their trials and their temptations. A lot of temptations, I wouldn't want everybody to know what I'm being faced with simply because, you know, if the temptation is supposed to be showing my weak link, you know, a lot of times I don't want anybody else to know what that is because it's embarrassing. But It's not that hard to pick up on if we know each other. I mean, my kids, they're all different, but I can be around them for 30 seconds and they might not speak a word or even stomp through the house or anything like that. And I can just look at their face and I know if there's something going on, you know, and I can pull them off the side sometime and just say, what's going on? You okay? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. No, you're not. I know you're not. We need to be that for each other. You know, if the Lord is that for us, if he does that, if he set it up so that everything that he's put in our life is there to be a healing thing for us after spiritual warfare or temptation that's been hard to get through. Sometimes, you know, and I've even been going through some of this here lately myself, but I think the Lord will face you. Sometimes the temptations will be a decision you need to make about a certain thing in your life. It ain't necessarily a temptation to sin. It's a temptation to make choices on your own without including him in it. Or to see if you'll follow after your own will and without seeking his. And, you know, and praying that his will be done and not yours. You know, I figured out something not too long ago about myself. I've spent a lot of time praying for God's will in my life, but a lot of times it's been praying that, Lord, if this is your will, let this be. The fact was that it was my will, and I was just asking him to let it be his will too. And sometimes he did let it be. He just let me, okay, go ahead. If you're going to keep on, go ahead. And, you know, made a big mess of stuff. This some of the thing I've been going through here lately. There's a decision about doing something, and I don't know. I never really thought of it being anything sinful. It wasn't. It wasn't nothing like that. But it was just one of the things where it just made sense to go ahead and do this. And I don't see nothing in the world wrong with it. I mean, it just makes good sense. But the more I think, you know, it seems just like you just run into the wall every time that something comes up about it. There's the door shut, or, you know, and instead of just bulling up and trying to kick it down and make it God's will, you know, I just kind of, you know, one of them deals where you've been blasted so hard with it before that you remember, you know, and be like, ooh, I remember this. I remember what this is. Maybe I should just be still. Just trust the Lord with it. And, you know, let this temptation to make this choice on my own, let's just make the different choice. And let's let God take care of it. And it's funny because the minute that I kind of recognized that and was just like faced with it and like, oh, okay. Well, here's what I'm going to do. It was just like the burden of it all just went away. The devil leaveth me. I like it when he leaves me. Amen. That's all I got.